another episodic podcasting adventure. It's Duckamania.
Everybody in that goddamn dressing room knows that I'm the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. If you don't like it, talk shit. That, my friends, is gonna be the most.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episodic adventure. Well, this is post-Talkamania, post-Clash of Champions, guys. Thanks for joining us. I'm half of Talkamania Dez, here with the Boozer Wade himself, J-Bomb. Say hello to your Talkamaniacs.
What is up? What is up? Yes, we just got through WWE Clash of Champions. Pay-per-view kicked off fucking strong, ended fucking strong. It's kind of like a strong sandwich. A shit sandwich mixed with really strong bread. But yeah, man, so we got some people in the chat. Thanks for joining us. FPC is here. Chaos, Chop Chop Lascop, or Scoop, sorry. Yeah, Roman versus Jay was amazing, says Chaos Theory. Dez, what did you think of the pay-per-view?
It was okay. I mean, like, I was going into this thinking it was going to be a filler pay-per-view. Clash of Champions, never super exciting. They throw these ones together. Went in with low expectations, and it was okay. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, I agree. There wasn't much going on. So going into it, we found out that a few people weren't going to be showing up. So what, we had Nikki Cross not on the card, and then we had the women's tag team match that was also canceled.
Right, Shayna and Nia. Everybody, they deem them not medically cleared. They do not tell you when somebody has COVID. So it's Clash of Champions and also COVID for champions, clearly. yeah, lots of swerves, I guess, coming. I don't know if that means anybody else has been impacted, but I notice AEW will always straight up tell you. They'll be super transparent, honest, and be like, they got COVID, they're at home, they're resting. And then here we go. WWE is always trying to hide it. They don't want people to know. They don't want that bad press. So, yeah, I mean, who knows if they actually got it or not, but it sounds suspicious. But yeah, lots of swerves, lots of changes in the card.
I don't have my wiki prepared.
I got to.
You got it?
Yeah.
I mean, while it's fresh, let's talk about that Roman Reigns-Jey Uso match, because that was unlike anything I've seen in a really long time. There was so much dialogue in that match, so much to pay attention to. Oh my God, I ate this fucking pepperoni pizza, man, and I had a couple beers. Tried to watch football. I got about 3/4 through the game. And then Clash of Champions started. I switched to like a cider because there's somebody had left some at my house, dude. I don't know how you drink that shit.
I like cider, man. But you have like one. That's it. You don't like get drunk off cider. It's just nice to have it, enjoy one. And then I usually go on to beer or wine or hard alcohol afterwards. But man, if I have a couple cider though, it gives me a nasty headache the next day.
Oh, great. That's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah. I had, like, seriously half a can, so didn't drink too much of it. But the Jey Uso, Roman Reigns, apart from them trying to get that tribal chief thing off the ground, like, constantly
saying...
He got the lay
at the end, too, man.
But it didn't make sense because, like, fucking Jey Uso came out with it.
Did he come out with it, I guess?
Jey Uso came out
with it. They're like, here, I had this in my bag for the real tribal chief, which was going to be my dad, or going to be... Was this to be who... Maybe they should have just made it, like, winner is the tribal chief. Like, I don't know.
You know, we talked about it on our prediction show, saying that, like, there's a million different directions this can go in, and it seems like it's going to be going in the direction of they're going to be with him. The Usos are going to be
maybe.
With
I mean, it's a little too early to say. They could go over to him and be like, okay, you know, like, you beat some sense into us. We'll be obedient, and you'll be our tribal chief, and we'll watch your back. And we did talk about this past week, and the match kind of went exactly as I said it was going to go. You know, it would be, first of all, good match. Very great. I liked it. I thought it was a really good match.
One of Roman's Reigns' best matches.
Yeah, it was up there. Jay basically put on a good showing, a few close near falls there, and then Roman just turned it on and just beat the tar out of him. I thought he was going to go for blood with those elbows and draw some blood. which really would have been awesome. And then, you know, having Jimmy come out, throwing in the towel. A lot of storytelling in this match. A lot of storytelling in quite a few matches tonight, actually, to be honest with you. There's a lot of storytelling tonight. But in this match in particular, look, man, people are saying Roman could or should or whatever couldn't be a heel. He's doing a good job here, guys. He took off the chest protector. It looks a bit new. He was talking about how he's going to change up his style. He said he might be taking off the shirt. He also said, hey, guys, watch for my evolution, and they might even throw him some new theme music. So they didn't do it tonight, but I think maybe next week because, you know, now that he's got a little bit more blood in his hands, a little bit more heel heat, or maybe they'll wait after the draft or something, see where he ends up going. I don't know. I liked it. Roman Reigns, he is still your Universal Champion, guys.
I would assume the champions don't get drafted, so I'm assuming he's going to stick around on SmackDown. But yeah, man, no new music. They really dragged out him coming out. Jey Uso got to the ring. There was a big, long pause before Roman came out. He looks like $1 million. That tattoo is fucking insane. And his whole demeanor in the match was just different. I can't wait to see as he gets more comfortable with this role. I think that this is a much better version of Roman Reigns than we've gotten over the last few years. So I'm really looking forward to it. I really do think, though, that this is all going to culminate with The Rock at WrestleMania.
Yeah, for sure.
It's got to.
He was already tweeting about it, too, and almost kind of like saying that he wanted to face The Rock at WrestleMania, and then The Rock actually responded. So, like, they're already kind of planting those seeds. I like everything I'm seeing with Roman Reigns. I wonder how it would translate with a real crowd, though. Honestly, I think they'd be cheering him. That's my thing, right? They want to make him a heel. They want to boo him. I think the fans would be digging this up, eating it with a spoon, and loving it, and probably cheering him behind him. And I wonder if this would change things if they just keep continuing forward, letting him be a heel, or if McMahon's like, they shouldn't be cheering him, you know, and then they pull the plug on it. I don't know. But, yeah, it's been good, man.
They put in the fake booze. They definitely put in the fake booze when it comes out. But I have a feeling that if there was fans, I think you're right. I think they would be cheering him. But we see heels like that in the business, like Chris Jericho. I mean, they sing the guy's song when it comes out. You know what I mean? And Jericho doesn't tell him to stop singing it. He tells him to keep singing it. So, I mean, Roman's getting pyro. I know Brock Lesnar got pyro, but still most other heels don't. But no, I'm really excited about it. I thought it was a 22-minute long match. And usually Roman Reigns' main events are Superman punch, Superman punch, Superman punch, spear, 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 and then one F5 and he loses. So this was a little bit better than usual. There was a lot more psychology in this match. We saw one new move from Roman. He used our good friend. He did a Rough Rider.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, Zack Ryder's a little
He's looked later. Better, though.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Hey, it's funny. Chelsea Green, they announced that she had contracted COVID. Okay. So I bet you that's why Matt Cardona was hitting on an AW lately. So you could put two and two together.
Maybe. What's up, guys, in the chat? We got Boot to the Face just joined us. Wizards Warrior, what's up, guys? Yeah, Clash of Champions post-show. We talked about Roman Reigns. We talked about Jey Uso. Let's talk about Asuka because she did double duty.
Again.
Mm-hmm. And I want to get your take on this because actually, I'm going to ask you the question first. Maybe I'm entrapping you a bit. What did you think about them using Asuka to come out and get disqualified? I guess technically Bayley got disqualified, but came out and kind of was just there in a filler position. What did you feel about it?
Look, I didn't know what was going to happen with Bayley. I thought Sasha was just going to come out straight up and challenge her, and we were going to be like, look, it sucks. We had to take the tag team match out. We had to take Nikki Cross versus Bayley out, but we're going to give you a treat. We're going to give you Sasha versus Bayley tonight. And Bayley could have like ended it with a DQ and it could have led to Hell in a Cell. I think that would have been cool, but they got to like, you know, play the angle, the injuries on Sasha. So that made sense. I thought it was going to be like Lacey Evans coming out or somebody and, you know, Bayley would get a quick win and, you know, make her look good and strong. The fact that it was Asuka, well, I was happy because you get to see double duty. And the way she also kind of came out and the match started and she looked panicked, I kind of felt like it was one of those, oh my God, they're actually going to take the title off her and Asuka's going to win it. But then I start like kind of like, okay, well, look, the whole thing, it's always been about the SmackDown title. Asuka can't win it. So then I started thinking, well, fuck, what's going to happen? Oh, man, don't tell me Asuka's going to lose. And then, look, Asuka was dominating her like she always does with Bayley. Bayley gets the chair, DQ. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because chair, she cheated, knocked, DQ. Okay, fine. I'm okay with that. And it also, I guess it kind of made sense, right? Like, I guess maybe they didn't have too many people at the arena, you know, so they didn't have too many people to pick from. I don't know. You know, a lot of people were probably sick of Asuka, but I was happy to see her in another match. And she also got to kind of, I guess, wrestle aggressively. Like, I found her match with Zelina Vega was good. I thought Zelina did a very good job. She looked good tonight. I think she actually was a wrestler in Impact for quite some time. But she hasn't been wrestling in the main women's roster on that level. And I had tweeted out that I felt like Asuka had to take it down multiple levels when she was facing Zelina. She kind of had to go slow, kind of help walk Zelina through a bunch of segments and stuff. And I didn't mean to knock on Zelina, but I guess it kind of is because she's not at that level, doesn't have that experience. But then to see her go against Bayley and kind of turn it on, that was cool. So double duty two times, Asuka. It shows they trust her. And, you know, I can't complain. And the DQ finish, if you're going to lose, then I'm okay with that way.
Okay, I'm surprised. I was expecting you to say that you didn't like it. So my whole story about something we talked about on a previous podcast is dead. So I'm happy that you enjoyed it. The guys in the chat, going back to Roman Reigns, boot to the face, said the Roman disrespect is incredible. Roman's matches were always good. Stop the Roman. I don't even know what that word is. Best merching?
Stop shitting, you know, on Roman. Means? Roman was always good.
I'm not saying that he wasn't good. It was just that the story of Roman Reigns was always he got his ass kicked all the time. And I always thought that Roman Reigns should be the guy kicking everyone's ass instead. So it's nice to see him on the flip side here.
A lot of his matches, too, like, he's good. He's solid. He's a beast. But they're always like you said, kind of copy-paste movesets. Always.
Yeah, he's a great wrestler.
But it's always like...
But it was always like...
The same kind of match.
He's booked as an underdog, which is like...
This is like a wrestling match, though, tonight. Like, you saw, like, different stuff out of Roman. You saw Jay come out and do lots of cool stuff. The close pin with the super kick and then the splash at the top. Like, it was... He helped Uso look really, really good tonight. Yeah, I mean, I do agree. Roman was always good, though, but exceptional tonight.
Big ups to Boot to the Face for the tips in the chat. I appreciate it, buddy. He also says, I noticed something about Asuka tonight. She sucks.
Why this time? Because sometimes he likes her, sometimes he doesn't. I don't know what it was this time, but she doesn't, by the way. She doesn't suck.
Boot says, we're just talking about Roman versus Brock. No, Roman was booked pretty weak against Strowman as well. Like, Strowman would always kick the shit out of him and, you know, Roman would come out on top. I guess against Daniel Bryan, AJ Balor, and Seth. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You got a point there. But, yeah, the Asuka match with Zelina Vega seemed like over-choreographed for me. There was, like, a few too many spots where they wanted to do a little bit too much flashy stuff. The ending was really, really good. There was a little hiccup in there, and if I'm going to, like, you know, break hairs over it. But I thought Zelina Vega looked really good in the match, despite the fact that you knew that, well, Asuka had to change up her style because it wasn't a strong style type of match. Yeah. It wasn't like Zelina Vega, when she goes into the corner, she literally has to put her arms up to like go into a corner. So it must be tough fighting with somebody that small.
And the Asuka lock too went from being like the Coquina clutch kind of, like, used to be like a chokehold, to like they pull the chin up now and have like a chicken wing. And it just, I don't know. It doesn't look really effective when they're tapping out. I don't know.
I don't find that move has ever looked effective. I don't.
Oh,
find
man, NXT it did. I know. I'm in the dream glory NXT days, like, always like, with Asuka. But dude, when she used to lock that on like Bayley, like, oh, used to look great. But yeah, it has lost its luster.
Yeah. So the Asuka stuff was good tonight. Me too. When she came out, there was a part of me was like, oh my god, she's gonna win. And then, but we knew Sasha Banks was coming. Sasha Banks. The attire change.
Yeah, she looked good. It was like Aaliyah, the you know, the music artist for Aaliyah. There's a video that she had where she basically was wearing very similar attire, but also had the little like Lita G-string coming out too, like the Lita pants. She looked fine. Yeah. She looked great tonight.
Yeah, she looked like a smoke show. Boot to the Faces, Vega looked smoking. They kind of all did. And let's not harp on Asuka because she's got a pair.
What?
She's got a pair.
Asuka's got a nice rack. Is that what you're trying to say?
Asuka's got a nice rack. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right,
she's
let's
a mom,
talk about
man.
The op-
for a mom, it's not too bad.
She's a mother. Yeah, Asuka's got a kid.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. All right, let's talk the opening match. Sami Zayn, Jeff Hardy, AJ Styles. This match went on. It opened the pay-per-view with a bang. My Beast TV was skipping around on this match, so I didn't get to see the big spot. I missed that spot, and I missed the crash that Jeff Hardy took. Well, the big fucking spot where he jumped off a 20-foot ladder onto Sami Zayn.
Okay, yeah.
And then I missed a spot where Jeff Hardy kind of fell onto a ladder that was on the top rope-ish and then fell out of the ring. I missed that as well, but I went back and I saw it on Twitter. Kudos to Jeff Hardy. We didn't give him enough credit going into this match. He looked really good in this match, I found.
Yeah, Jeff Hardy always gets his... It's always getting his ass kicked. He always looks like he's, like, almost dead, and then he gets up and does something crazy. I think all three guys did a very good job. Sami Zayn was getting thrown around, and, like, one point he got thrown in the corner onto a ladder and then, like, bounced off a rope and then bounced again, and his back was all beaten up, and AJ Styles did a good job as well, too. And, look, man, this was a really good match. Maybe my match, my favorite match of the night. I thought it was a very good ladder match. We've had so many ladder matches, but this is... I don't know, one that I it kind of stands out being as one of the better, most recent ones. And I really thought that AJ Styles was going to walk away with the championship here. I didn't think they'd go with Sami Zayn, especially after leaving and going on hiatus. I thought the WWE might hold something, a grudge against him or something. I wasn't too sure. But he still is, well, he's still your Intercontinental Champion. You know, some people said new, but he's still. He took both those titles, and now he is your undisputed Intercontinental Champion. And I can't wait till SmackDown. It's going to be a great show.
I thought it was a pretty interesting way to finish it. Because we've gotten a lot of
the ear hole
ladder
again,
matches.
Man. They're obsessed with that Jeff Hardy ear hole thing.
The ear hole spot was, you know, it's been done. But it was still cool that he pegged him to a ladder. And then Jeff ended up using that ladder
to carry
against AJ.
Yeah.
I would have been pretty nervous if I were him. Not going to lie. I got spacers in my ears. And one wrong slip. And you better hope that earlobe breaks. Otherwise, your ear is tearing off your head. But... I liked how Sami Zayn got his ass kicked and then still cheated to win, and in a sense cheated to win. The handcuffs was a fine touch. The fact, I don't know how the hell he got them attached to himself with AJ Styles. That was like a magician's trick. I didn't see him do it. All of a sudden they were attached. Then he
pulled
the
key
from
his mask. I thought AJ
might have
done it. Like he might have attached Sami to him.
Oh, he may have.
I wasn't sure either. I kind of missed that too, so I'm not sure.
The story was that Sami did it, and people were saying, oh my God. Well, people, the commentators were saying how smart that was. Then he pulled the key from his mouth halfway up the ladder. It was just, it was a lot of psychology for a ladder match, and I thought that was really cool. It was a nice change.
Yeah. Yeah,
we usually get.
I don't think anybody thought Sami was going to win this one. At least, I don't know. I really thought
I did.
I
called it.
I know. Yeah. But I think it's great, man. I think it's cool. It's good for. It's good. Now, do you think since he's the undisputed champion, you think he's going to make a new shiny belt, or they just made the new one, right? So I don't think they're going to do that.
I'd like to see him throw out Jeff Hardy's belt somehow, or destroy it, and him just have his. I don't think they'll make a new belt.
No, I don't think so either.
After this match, though, I found like the pay-per-view took a deep dive, man. Like a real deep dive. Asuka and Zelina Vega was good. That was a match that followed it. Surprisingly, with the fans not being there, I find like it's easier for matches to follow high-energy matches like a ladder match. So, but then we got into the Bobby Lashley Apollo Crews thing, and it was super flat for me. The Street Profits versus Andrade and Angel was super flat for me. The botch at the end of the Street Profits, it seemed like Angel Garza got injured and there was an audible called backstage because they put sound effects into the crowd counting that 1, 2, 3.
Right. Okay. So let's take a step back here. Bobby Lashley, Apollo Crews, we're talking about that one first. That's where things kind of started to go a little bit flat. This is a match I feel like I've seen 100 times, these two facing off against each other, if not on Raw. On pay-per-views, on pre-shows, you know, we've kind of seen this. I like Apollo. I like Bobby Lashley. I'm happy that Bobby Lashley retained. I didn't expect anything but that. I feel like this maybe should have been on the pre-card. But again, the U.S. title had been on the pre-card so often that it makes sense, I guess, to put it on the main card. Only thing I would have added to this, man, is Retribution. Have them come in and do something afterwards, especially with them kind of having their unveiling last week of their stupid names. And all over social media this past week, you know, taking shots, even Jericho getting in and taking a shot at T-Bar, and then T-Bar taking a shot at Jericho. I thought that was interesting. As stupid as the Retribution things turned and the names and all that stuff, I like the stuff that's going on in social media. And I would have liked Retribution to come in at some point with her business, some kind of brawl, and then it can continue next week. That's the only thing I would have liked to add to that match. I think it would have made that match a little bit more memorable and important on the card. Otherwise, it's just a very forgettable match.
Ricochet should have just fucked over Apollo.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they could have went that direction as well.
Ricochet and the Hurt Business would work for me. Ricochet needs something. This guy's like grasping his strings, man.
Yeah,
as great of a wrestler as he is.
Yeah, Chaos is saying Apollo should feud with Shelton. I like that. I think it's a good idea. I imagine two of the Hurt Business are going to go for the tag titles at some point. So maybe Shelton and Cedric. I don't know. But yeah, we'll see. And then you were talking about the Street Profits against Andrade and Garza. I'm really upset because I might be alone on this. I actually like Andrade and Garza as a tag team. I think these guys are really good in the ring. I like kind of the chemistry that they have. I like their cockiness, their arrogance. And with Zelina out of there, they seem to be on the same page. And I kind of earlier on thought this was going to be their night because I think Charlie was saying, when there was a promo, saying, hey, we have Garza and Andrade backstage. I believe they said we have the Raw Tag Team Champions, Garza and Andrade. And I was like, oh, really? They pulled a Michael Cole and they might have said the wrong thing. But maybe not because Charlie, I'm sure, doesn't get the results. I don't know. Maybe it was just a slip. And I also heard that it was supposed to be them potentially that was going to win. Who the fuck knows, though? Either way, it looked like after the Spanish Fly, he landed. People are saying that could be the injury. He got up, and then Montez kind of kicked him in the leg. That might have triggered it. I don't know. Either way, his leg was locked up. He definitely told the ref that something was going on. They called the ex. And then that weird-ass botched ending where they didn't communicate it to Andrade, I guess. Maybe the English barrier, or he wasn't listening, or he had Charlotte in his mind. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but that was a really kind of sloppy ending. Yeah, 100%. I think even Street Profits were like, what the fuck is going on? So who knows what's going to happen?
No,
I thought it meant it was going to be a rematch on Raw, but clearly not the case, especially if Garza's injured. And if this is a quad tear or something, then ouch, that's going to suck for them.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, I... There was definite confusion at the end of that match. Street Profits, like, when Dawkins did, like, his version of the Sky High, right off Which the hot sucks. Tag, it was all right.
Look, I don't think it doesn't look bad, but D'Lo Brown's Sky High was so fucking good, man. So good.
But immediately, hot tag, pulled the move. That's not his finisher, right?
It's his finisher, I think, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's his singles finisher, yeah.
I still, I don't know. It just seems
Titus O'Neil's as well. Titus actually was decent at it. He's not bad at it, but yeah.
Like Andrade absolutely kicked out of it.
Yeah,
Dawkins allowed the kick out to happen. So I think they were both expecting there to be.
I think
a
it was
out.
Like they're gonna like because he's his finisher, right? He was like hit him with it, and they did, and then I think the ref counted three no matter what, and Andrade just didn't know. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't know
the crowd counted three. It was like. Somebody was like, hit the 1-2-3 count for the crowd so it doesn't look as bad. But it was a shit show. I don't know if Andrade and Angel were supposed to win that. Whatever. But
I like to think so, at least.
I like to think so, too.
Because, dude, they've had so many chances. They got to win one of these times. Or else, like, dude, why do they keep getting chances? Like, honestly, why? But
I have no idea. But it was definitely a shit show. Those two were the absolute lows. The Oscar and Bailey
match, though. But it just the ending and stuff was not great. Asuka and Bailey,
That was, you know, a little filler. Basically, it was a little bit of a shock to have Asuka in there. It brought the energy back up.
Yeah.
Having Sasha come up, energy's back up, rolling into the Drew and Randy Orton match.
Whoa. Let's not roll through Bailey and Sasha too.
We already talked about Bailey and Asuka.
We didn't talk about Bailey and Sasha, her coming back and basically attacking Bailey and what this means.
We talked about how good she looked.
Dude, well, that's the most important thing. But the second most important thing was, dude, The boss is back, and I'm super stoked going into Hell in a Cell. Dude, this match is going to be fucking great. I can't wait for the carnage. She had that match with Becky that was off the hook. Her and Bayley had their match at NXT TakeOver, and these two have a potential to make fucking history again at Hell in a Cell. And people are saying that they should save it for WrestleMania. I mean, come on. Have them wrestle again at WrestleMania or something. Like, honestly, like, it's got to happen now. And I think Hell in a Cell is a perfect place for it to happen. And I just fucking can't wait. I just can't wait. I think it's going to be fucking great.
Yo, Sasha threw that fucking chair at Bayley.
Yeah.
And she's so lucky.
I was thinking it was
going to
clip her
man.
In the face and bust her open. I think Bayley even looked at her like, holy shit. Like, yeah. Whoa, fucking relax.
Yeah, boot to the face in the chat says, Sasha sold the fuck out of that neck injury, which is fucking awesome. Look at boot to the face. Another 200 ticks. This guy's the man. Cheers to
what
boot
are these
to the
ticks?
Face,
what
man.
Do they
Thank
do?
You very much.
Teach me.
It's like tipping. It's like donations. It's currency that you can buy and donate to streamers. And once you hit a certain amount as a streamer, you can extract it to your PayPal. So it helps support the channel. Thank you very much, Boot to the Face. If you guys didn't check out the pre-show and you want to hear their predictions, even though the pay-per-view's over, you can see how wrong they both were. And you can go check it out. They released that that audio this morning. But yes, Asuka versus Bayley at Hell in a Cell is going to be good.
Bayley versus Sasha. You said Asuka versus
What did Bayley. I say, Asuka?
I wish. Throw her in there, man. Look, man, I would be pissed off if somebody hit me in the back with a chair. I thought that Bayley was going to like go over Sasha, and then Asuka would just like smack Bayley in the back, put her down, and then Asuka would walk off or something. But it's not about Asuka. You know, I understand. I'm just talking about the perfect world. What else
yeah,
you got
she
here?
She was nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I know. Drew McIntyre, yeah. Randy Orton. Okay, a lot of people bitching and complaining about this match. Okay, like this is kind of when I got off social media because nobody's happy ever. People find anything to bitch and complain about. Even if you say your comment on something, they'll bitch and complain that you're a bitch and complain and all that stuff. So this is when I was like, fuck it, I'm going to turn it off. I'm going to watch the rest of the pay-per-view. I liked it. I thought the ambulance match was pretty good. I thought it was one of the better ambulance matches that I've seen. And the thing I liked about this match was the storytelling in it, which is what a lot of people did not like because they thought it made Drew's win look really weak, which I'll agree and I get that aspect of it. But look, this was a long-term story, which is what we were all wanting and asking about. We wanted storytelling. And then when we got the storytelling, we're not happy about the storytelling because all these old guys come back and have to come back and help Drew win. And I get it, but I think the whole receipts thing was interesting. I don't know if this is Randy Orton's last shot. If it was, it kind of would have been poetic justice. The only thing is, who didn't show up tonight? Edge. And I thought Edge was going to be the cherry on top and maybe be there at some point. And maybe cost him the final blow, you know, to kind of take him out. But it wasn't. But we got Big Show. No beard. He looked very funny. I was like, holy shit, when I saw him. Put Randy Orton through that table. Christian put Randy Orton through catering. We had Shawn Michaels. He somehow managed to climb up that ambulance and super kick Randy Orton.
I knew it was coming.
I would have loved for Randy Orton to get super kicked and like kind of fall backwards off the thing. To, like standing there super kick. Like,
or just super kick and stay on top.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think falling off it was cool, but like, you know, when like they're going to do a double finisher, right? Remember Shawn Michaels? He does a super kick into the pedigree. Well, whenever they're doing the double team finisher, the guy still stands up. And it's like,
yeah, it's true.
Why are you this time standing up? And I don't know. I think if it was anybody else, because if you go back and look, Randy Orton always sold the super kick really weird. Always sold it really weird. And he kind of spun around. And then the way he kind of fell off, I don't know. I would have liked the direct fall off, but it's funny. A boot to the face is pointing it out. I thought it was pretty funny, too. They showed Shawn Michaels afterwards, like, getting off the ambulance, and he's, like, slowly crawling down the ladder.
they could have changed the angle on that.
Yeah, I know. But for my 55 years old, you know, I wish I looked like that at 55. But yeah, he's an old dude now, right? So whatever, it is what it is. Drew McIntyre hits him with the Claymore, hits him with the punt, which I thought was a good way to cap things off, put him into the ambulance, close the door, and Drew is still your WWE champion. I also want to say that bump on the windshield of the ambulance was nasty. Cut his back open good, man.
Yep. The I'm agreeing with Boot to the Face. You mentioned in the chat, I love and hated the run-ins. I felt the same way. Like, I was kind of half paying attention to the beginning of the fight because I knew this was going to be, you know, a long battle. And then I hear, the Big Show is here. And
I
forgot about all the stuff. What's that?
Right away, almost, too. And I started thinking. I was like, oh, I thought they might do that. I think a lot of people probably did, though.
As soon as the Big Show showed up, I was like, all right, we're going to get everybody else. I was also waiting for Edge, but I know he's injured, so I thought maybe he wasn't going to show up. It was a nice touch. I thought it was good. It was cheesy, but again, it's a nice touch. It's kind of a full circle story. Having HBK come out was cool. It's always nice to see him. But you knew it was coming on the top of the ambulance. I thought it was really funny to have Ric Flair drive off. I thought that was one of the better surprises at the end when the ref walked up. There was no door on the ambulance, and Ric Flair was sitting there. So we got a nice woo, which is always nice to see. And then Ric Flair drove like 3 feet to the back at like 2 kilometers an hour. Yeah. So
I wonder who turned the siren on for him. I was thinking that. I was like, for sure no way Ric Flair figured that one out on his own.
Somebody he probably asked production where the button was, and then he wanted to hit it. But no, I thought it was a good match. You know what I noticed is weird? A lot of people sell the punt incorrectly. I'm just going to put it out there. Goddamn pizza. He kicked him from right to left, and Randy Orton flew to the right.
Okay, do you remember when Shawn Michaels took it? He was just sitting up covering his bald spot. So, I mean, yeah, don't think too much about it. But
it's Randy Orton's move. You think he would have known to roll the other way. Keith Lee didn't show up. Yeah, he would have been dead. Keith Lee didn't show up. I don't remember Randy Orton attacking Keith Lee. Did he punt him too?
No, but Keith Lee's kind of been in the mix during Raw every single week where, like, he fought Randy Orton, then Drew got interfered, and then he fought Drew and Randy Orton interfered. So there's still kind of Keith Lee floating around. Now it's going to be interesting to see what happens on Raw. Will Randy Orton, like, do his own thing now? Will Drew McIntyre move on to something else? Maybe Keith Lee? Where does Keith Lee go from here? Like, I really thought Randy Orton would win the title, and then he would have the title through to, like, WrestleMania and then face Edge. They could still do it. Like, honestly, guys, I know you're like, well, finally, we're done with this whole Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre thing. It might be Hell in a Cell, man. Like, Hell in a Cell is a very, like, ending of a grudge, you know, pay-per-view. So, who knows? They could do it to Hell in a Cell. Randy Orton might finally win that title. But, you know, I'm happy Drew won. I think he's done a good job as champion.
You know how many months we've been saying Randy Orton's finally going to win that title?
I know.
I don't think it's happening. I called Drew Mack. I think you called Randy Orton on this one.
I just feel like Edge and Randy Orton is fate. But here's the thing, right?
Who wants to see that again?
Well, I think you're going to get it again. But I think you're not going to... I don't think putting, like, both titles at WrestleMania against old wrestlers, not, like, The Rock... Edge, right? I don't think it's the right thing to do. So maybe they won't go in
that direction. Rock's not going to beat Roman Reigns, bud. It's not happening. There's no chance 100%. The Rock is going to win if he comes back.
The Rock's going to win if he comes back, yes.
No, there's no way he can.
Yes. What do you guys think? If The Rock came back and fought Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, you think that Roman's going to go in as a heel and beat The Rock? I don't think so.
Yes.
The story's going to build until WrestleMania, and The Rock's going to be the one to stop Roman and put him in his place and say, respect your family.
Dude, everybody in the chat's disagreeing with you.
Yeah, but the push, yo. God, fuck you.
It would kill his push.
Yeah, but
it
his push has gotten from now until WrestleMania. Like, how long do you want to push for? I mean, like, dude.
Forever. If this is your man, they push John Cena for his entire career. Right?
All right, maybe I'm wrong, I guess. And I guess Rock would want to go in and help him get over. I guess. Maybe I'm wrong. No, I wouldn't say put the title on him. You just wouldn't make it for the title or something. You could have The Rock come in, cost him the title at Royal Rumble, and then they do a feud without the title, and then The Rock wins, and there's no title on the line. I agree with you, though. I don't think there should be a title. I don't think The Rock would win the title. He doesn't want to win the title. Last thing we want is for him to have it, and then how do we
forget
get it
even
off
the title.
It?
He can't beat Roman Reigns. He can never beat Roman Reigns. If The Rock beats Roman Reigns is finished. Finished. It will be the end of him.
Okay, all right.
You don't think so?
No, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
He's got to go out.
I love when The Rock comes back and kicks somebody's ass, though, you know?
Yeah, but The Rock usually kicks like someone's ass like during a segment and then drinks a beer with Austin, you know? Or Becky Lynch.
Yeah, fair enough.
But
fair enough.
The Rock's too busy endorsing presidents and telling everybody that he had COVID. I don't know why he's getting mixed in with all this shit. A lot of money involved.
I guess a lot of money involved. I don't know, man. And I don't know. I mean.
But the whole bloodline, the whole tribal chief, I mean, we know where this is going. This is going to be good. If this is a storyline, there's a long story to be told here. I'm really excited for it. I thought, to me, that was like, as good as Sami Zayn, Jeff Hardy, and AJ Styles was, Roman Reigns and Jey Uso was a match of the night for me.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty good, though. I like the Intercontinental Championship match. I think I'm still going to go with that. But I like the story they told during that match as well, too, man. And I'm not one of the people that are also going to shit on the Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. It was like...
No, I thought it was good.
I see an ambulance match, and I'm like, oh my God, these things are ridiculously lame. Especially putting it... It's like a casket match, essentially, right?
But casket matches are awesome.
I know, but they just basically replace a casket with a bigger box ambulance. And then, yeah, I get it. The people coming in, like, beating up Randy Orton, it's not really fair. It makes Drew's win look tainted, and it kind of was. But here's the Here's the thing, though. Randy Orton is so big, like, right now as a heel and in general, right? So it's like, if you're going to protect him, like, this is the way they're going to protect him, right? And then have
Drew still win. That's what I took from it. I didn't think that Drew looked bad. I thought this made Randy Orton very strong.
Yeah.
It made, the only thing I was thinking, though... Excuse me. There was a thing in the back of my head thinking, oh my God, if fucking Jinder Mahal comes out at the end to cost Drew McIntyre the match.
Yeah, but I don't want to see, like, I don't mind seeing Jinder versus Drew. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I don't want to see Jinder versus Drew for no title on the line and just a regular match. Because then it's just going to be Drew just beating Jinder Mahal.
I like Jinder. I'm probably like one of the only people, but I like Jinder Mahal. I think he's good. If you have to rate the guys in the chat too, play along with this one. If you have to rate the pay-per-view on a scale of A to F, where are you throwing this one tonight?
I'm maybe going towards like a B minus. Yeah.
That high?
That Shit, high. Okay. I thought that was kind of, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I think,
like a pay-per-view. I mean, there was.
Yeah, yeah. Because you got B.
To me, there was two and a half.
You got B plus, then you got A minus, then you got A, then you got A plus. So.
Yeah, but there's a way longer list under B minus. I'll go with a C plus.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I did like the I like the fact that Zelina had a solid, like, an actual wrestling match. She's out of the manager spotlight. I thought that was pretty cool. I think Asuka was well trusted to kind of be the person to kind of help her along in that match. Getting an extra bonus, I mean, me specifically with her against Bayley was nice. And if the Street Profits would have won those tag team titles, it would have made it all the better, but it didn't. Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, thought that match was good. The IC title, like I said. And then Roman Reigns, the great story told in the main event for the Universal Championship.
That was very good.
I'm okay with the B minus. Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to go with.
I'll stick to my C plus. I guess we're pretty close on that one. Guys in the chat got a B plus. But yeah, I mean, it's Clash of Champions. There's not much to expect from a pay-per-view like this. At least we have... stories that still need to be told going into this week of Raw and SmackDown. I don't want to tune in.
We have a draft coming up too, man. Like, I didn't even know about that. That came God. From nowhere. I'm like, again? What I thought waste. They were keeping exclusive people rosters, or they weren't going to do that anymore. They keep changing their mind. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I don't care about drafts. It's lame. But I'm interested to know what goes on with the Sasha Bailey stuff, how it progresses, and I'm very much interested, more than ever, with the storyline with Roman Reigns, Jey Uso. Jimmy Uso is nice to see him. Who else can they get involved? We got Tamina. We got Naomi. We got Rikishi that can be making appearances.
The one thing that's worth noting, though, if you want, I mean, you didn't, but for those who watched SmackDown this week, there was a segment where Alexa Bliss went crazy again.
I heard.
As she's walking up the ramp, she passes Roman Reigns and then looks at Roman Reigns evil because apparently, like, the Fiend can channel himself through Alexa Bliss, pretty much, because that's what they're pointing at. So, you know, he came, cost the Fiend his championship. I don't know if you want to read too much into it, but people think that the Fiend is going to come back for Roman Reigns at some point. So I don't know if that's going to put the whole tribal thing on pause, or if it was just like, hey, we'll do this and it'll be like a little Easter egg or some shit. I don't know. We'll have to find out soon enough.
Yeah, it's a planted seed for sure. But I mean, the tribal thing, I think it's going to be a slow burn. I think we're going to get a bunch of weeks where Jay and Jimmy are friendly with them. You know what I mean? And are going to be part of that posse going forward. But yeah, that's pretty much Clash of Champions, guys. Anything you want to add before we wrap this up?
No, man. Like I said, you know, I kind of tuned into it with lower expectations for a Philip pay-per-view. Wasn't too bad, in my opinion. And I overall pretty much, yeah, it was a good show. It was fun. It was a good Sunday.
It kept me entertained. There was one point where I almost fell asleep. I'm not going to lie. But the Roman stuff at the end got me excited. Got me to... get upstairs and get on here and do the post show. But guys, we have Trivamania 6 coming out this week. If you're a patron, it's already in the Patreon channel, so you can go check it out. Otherwise, it's coming out Tuesday or Wednesday, and then we'll be back again Friday morning with another episode of Talkmania. And then, yeah, we got some stuff planned for Trivamania 7. We'll keep you guys up to date on those details. But apart from that, I'm going to try and get some sleep. I got work in the morning. Thank you, chat, for joining us. Thank you, Sportscaster, for having us. Shout out to Boot to the Face for the tips. Shout out to Dez for putting up with me. And on behalf of Talkamania, J-Bomb's out. Dez, say bye.
Hope you guys enjoyed Clash of Champions. Until next time, Talkamaniacs, have a happy Rusev Day.